Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into the sex episode. Just want to let you know that we are talking about adult content. So if you're listening to this with kids, make sure to either talk to them before, explain to them during, or maybe just skip it all together. Thanks so much for your support. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the episode. We can't remember what we did last night, but we know. And what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. Actually, the final episode of season two. We're just trucking along. This one felt a lot. This season, we went quicker because we recorded in a shorter amount of time and since we're intense. Out to Nashville for 3 months. And so this has been good. So we're going to end it on sex. Why not? I think we ended did we end the last season on sex?
Is this now a tradition?
Yes, we did end it on sex. It's probably because this is a very, sought after subject, and we want you guys to hang on till the end. That's what she said.
No pun intended.
That's what she said. I need you to hang on to the end.
Speaking of sex, the wine for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is Leia. Get it?
I get it. I'll Leia if you say ya.
Leia on the...
Get some Leia for your Leia. See, I still got
Leia
it.
Down.
I was just thinking,
still got it.
I was like, hey, Leia down.
I just did that one.
No, but I did it first. Nobody heard me.
All right, children. So 2017. What kind is it?
I don't really know. I can't figure it out.
Oh, it's a Spain one. That means it doesn't have the number one because it's going to be good. 2017 red wine, 70% Tintorera, and 30% Monastrell. You know what that all means, Manny, right?
Yeah, so that's
everybody,
the type of grape.
Enjoy. This looks great from the Gill family estate, Santa Rosa, California. Cheers. Happy season two. Thank you, everybody, for journeying with us. Let's talk about
I actually tasted the fruit more in this one.
Yeah.
I feel the fruity. I feel the fruity more in this one.
I just took some peppermint oil, so this does not taste good at all. But
I felt it was definitely more fruity.
Honestly, yeah. I really like that.
Hey,
good.
There's some realities. Look, I was looking up some sex stuff, and there's this site I found. Good housekeeping.
Hey, Manny.
Goodhousekeeping.com.
Goodhousekeeping.com. 101 ways to have great sex.
Yeah.
And then I also looked up, though, Focus on the Family. So I went to two sites.
He Googles sex stuff.
Yeah, sex statistics. Yeah. Listen to this. Most married couples have sex 5 times per month. That's what.
Wow.
Really?
Five times a month. So if you average it out, that's 58 to 68 times a year.
Do you think that's accurate?
Well, here's the thing about sex studies. Here's the thing. The way they can get the average is it's kind of difficult because when they say, the statistic is most people have sex 3 times a week, most married couples, right?
What?
But the reality of it is that average can happen in multiple ways. It could actually be a bunch of people saying it's 3 times, but more often than not, it's more people saying we do
like
it more
times now, people like once
and we're
a month.
Like once. Yeah. So it still averages out to 3 times a week. So that's why they say statistics on sex are not really something that you should ever compare
so
your life or your sex life. It's just not accurate. You'll start feeling like, oh man, we're not doing right. When most people are probably doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That was one. 7.5% of married people say they have sex daily.
7.5 or 75?
7.5. So it's super low. Yeah, daily. 7.5. So
are they lying? No.
I know a couple that do have sex every day.
Really?
What? Yeah.
I don't know.
I
don't know a couple that.
I haven't heard from anyone at this table. I'm not saying y'all don't, but
it is
a couple that y'all know. But like, I'm not gonna like call them out.
Good for them. That's dope.
Good for them.
I'm kind of like, once I get it, like, I'm like good for a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. Can we just jump right in or you want to do more
statistics? Yeah, jump in. No, I'm going to keep reading them off.
So I feel like just being, again, I can only speak from my own personal experience. It depends on you, where you're at. I personally have had a lot of shame that I've had to work through. And I am just now in my 8th year of marriage, just now getting to a place in our sex life where I feel like we're thriving. Everything before now has been filled with discomfort, pain, shame, trying really hard, but it still hurts and not being able to move past that in my body. And then I got to a place where I started doing work on my body, work on trauma, work on emotional things that I've been holding on to, learning about lineage pain, learning about a lot of things like that, learning about my connection with God, with this earth, and how God created this earth, God created Mother Earth, and learning how to dig my roots deep into this spirit of this Mother Earth and draw up sexual energy into my body, where stuff like that, I could never say anything like that before in the church. It would be like, oh, what? That's new agey, or that's evil, or that's whatever. Like, listen, I am in a place right now where I'm learning so much about my body and myself that it's translating into my sex life with my husband. And that is the proof that I need, is seeing the change with me and my husband, to know that I'm onto something, to know that there's truth in what I'm doing, that I'm finally feeling liberated and free in my sex life, to where we could get to one of these statistical things of like sex every day. But we're not, I'm just putting us out there on blast. We don't have sex every day, but we're at a place in our sex life where we're very happy with it. And cause we've talked about it, and we'll joke sometimes and be like, I'm proud of us. Look at us go, you know, like, because we're entering into a new season of our lives, and our sex life is growing, and I'm excited about it. But I'm in the eighth year. It took me 8 years to get to this place.
Why do you think that's such a like taboo subject, even like how many times people have sex? And I mean, I'm not even talking about church. Like, yes, we've all grown up in church. So often I think we use church as our example of like, I could never talk about that in the church. There are so many families that did not grow up in church that do not talk about sex.
I did not grow up in church.
And did you talk about sex?
Mm-mm.
Thank you. So I think, like, what do you think it is that, like, couples don't talk about sex? Now, I get that, like, the intimacy stuff is real. Why do you think that hasn't, like...
It's culture.
Yeah.
It's completely...
Like, American culture?
Exactly. Oh, it's American culture.
Because Europe is not like that. I was born and raised in Germany, and I saw naked people from jump on the telly.
But, like, yes, you saw naked people, but, like, was sex a topic that y'all talked about?
Not my parents, because my parents are still very much, Spanish, American, but like friends and like people that were citizens of Germany, it was like, it was something that we talked about. I think that's why I got started so young too, is because it was just prominent over there and it wasn't like a weird thing, but here it's a weird thing. Here, for some reason, it's just tainted. It's looked at as evil, and it's so
or
weird.
Dirty. Or not dirty. Even evil, because if it's not the church world, just dirty.
Yeah, just, and that's so weird to me. It's because it's so interesting. Like, we're interested in it. It's just like money. We're so interested in sex and money. It's like, why wouldn't we talk about it? You know, I talk about it. I don't care. I've always talked about it. I'm not shy about any of that crap. But, you know, one of the questions was, you know,
so people have written in.
Yeah, what do you call a good or healthy sex life? And that's, To each his own.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It depends on what's good to you and what's healthy to you. Like, some people legit, like, they only need it once a week. And some people need it 5 times a week.
What if, like, did we talk about this in the last season? I can't remember. I'm throwing questions in there. You're welcome. Because y'all can answer them. But, like, what's a healthy sex life, right? What do you do if two people have completely different sex drives in a relationship? Mm-hmm. Like, what's healthy then?
Communication. Yeah. Constantly,
good answer.
Always come back to communication. And if, for instance, I needed it more than Manny, but he didn't have the sex drive or whatever, there's some aspect of like Manny doing it for me, but then at the same time, like, he don't really want this. Mm-hmm. He's just doing it for me. And I think as long as we're like talking and connecting and getting back to like intimacy, what we talked about in our marriage retreat, intimacy is not always sex. It's, what did they say? Intimacy, allowing you to see into me.
Into me, you see.
Yeah. Okay. There it is.
Many sermons on sex.
Yeah.
So there's different ways to grow your intimacy with each other. But yeah, I think it always comes down to communication. What were you going to say?
Yeah, no, I was going to just add on to that. So yeah, so Maddie and I, we have two different sex drives. And so again, sometimes there's outside things that are affecting that sex drive in a season. So there could be like some months where it's like, I want it all the time. And the other months were like, honestly, all I can think about right now is the pressure and stress that I'm feeling from work. So I feel completely shut down. So understanding like, hey, what do you need from me? And also communicating, hey, this is what I'm wanting from you at the same time too. And so what you were just saying is that communication is so key, because even if there's times where necessarily she's like, hey, I don't want you inside of me right now, but I'll give you head. I'm like, well, that's cool. Let's go for it. You know, like,
take what you can get.
Yeah, no. And so again, it's like she's understanding, hey, like, I'm not necessarily like in the mood to have full on sex right now, but I understand like there's something in you right now and you're ready to go. So like, hey, I could take care of you. And so I just think it comes down to communication.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Which is interesting.
Cosign.
Life man, he's like, I'm not in the mood. I'm like, fine, can you just do me then?
It's so weird because I'm a romantic. So I'm like not the nigga that's like, oh, let's just hit it and quit it. I'm always like, I'm a romantic. So it's like, I can't just do the hit it and quit it crap. If she ain't in the mood, I don't want it. I don't care. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Has to be mutual. That's just me. I know niggas that are like, my homies are like, nah, she could just lay there. I'm like, nah, bro.
Yeah, that'd feel weird.
I can't do that, like, man.
I'm cuddling with you.
84% of women say they have sex to get their husband to help with housework.
What? Okay, I remember growing up in church and hearing, because, you know, pastor's kid, I had to be in the sex talks. We'd have relationship conferences, but I'm the kid. I'm always there. So, like, my dad would be preaching on sex. I'm like, this is so awkward. Like, oh, God. But I remember everyone always saying on the sex panels, like, men, if you want your wife to have, like, more sex with you,
clean the house.
And the girl's like, yes. I'm like, I don't necessarily think that. I don't get that, like, the connection. But apparently that's, like, the whole thing of, like, if the house is clean, so many women, like can relax. Whereas if you're having – a lot of women have anxiety if they're, like, literally having sex in a dirty house. They, like, have anxiety.
Yeah, or a dirty room. Like, if
I can't stand dirty house in a dirty room. Oh,
the rolls are up.
That's, like, one of the things that Maddie loves. So I know I'm like, hey, if later tonight – I am wanting to have sex, I'm going to do my best to clean up the house, make sure stuff's in order, so there's less things that she has to worry
and
about.
I
so
would
it comes
say,
down to her relaxing.
Yeah, I would also say it does set an atmosphere. Like, if you come into a dirty house,
right?
There's nothing. It smells like feet. Like, that's really
take
difficult.
Take the trash out. Yeah. Smell like boo-boo in your bathroom.
Exactly. Like clean the house. You put a candle on. You put music. Just like you would on a date. If you know a guy's coming over or a girl's coming over to your house, you're going to make sure you got the candle on. You buy a new candle from, like,
work on
Bed
that
Bath
sex playlist.
Yes.
Like,
playlist is
you
powerful.
Got the, you, like, cook dinner. You, like, set good. The mood. That's an atmosphere.
See, that's what I'm about. Which leads us to, does it ever get stale? How do you change it up?
Did we answer that in the love question?
I don't know. No, I don't. Well, maybe, but let me read this, okay?
Okay.
Married women are twice as likely to orgasm than single women. That's a statement. Probably because committed relationships make women almost twice as likely to climax than casual hookups do. According to New York University sociologists. Yep, because they feel safe. But according, like, switching it up, 1/3 of married couples are interested in BDSM and bondage. Long before 50 Shades, couples were pretty open to exploring. A 2005 survey from Durex found that 10% of Americans have tried sadomasochism. 36% have used blindfolds or other form of bondage, but so did their parents. A study from 1953 found that 55% of women and 50% of men liked being bitten.
Whoa. Where are you? What is this?
We're on Good Housekeeping, but that was but they're citing studies. So this is by Durex. Okay. This was a study in 2005
by
Durex.
Wait, but now we've all forgotten the question. Can you get back to the
question? Well, this is how do you spice it up? Oh, okay. That's why I said I'm reading these things, because these are things that people have tried. Like, more than a third of currently married women have had anal sex.
Read it one more time.
More than 1/3 of currently married women have had anal sex.
Did they like it though?
As soon as you read that, Elise was just shaking her head.
Some people I'm like out. It.
Like to each their own.
To each their own. And like, listen, I said earlier, I'm working on getting rid of all kinds of barriers for me. And it was painful for many years for me because my body was so locked up in shame, in fear, in trauma, whatever it was. My body was so locked up. So it was painful. It was actually painful. And now I'm getting to a place where I'm loosening up, like spiritually, mentally, and physically. I'm loosening up so that it doesn't really hurt anymore. So where I would say, like, Angela, 5 years ago, I would be like, girl, it hurts going in the front hole. It's definitely not going to go in the back hole. It's going to hurt.
Which brings up one of the questions that another person said. What is the limit of stuff you can do in the bedroom when you're a Christian? Is there one, or is everything you do together holy
when you're
and
a
married?
Christian. Yo,
this is a Christian guy asking.
Everything is holy in the bedroom.
Everything.
But that's what he says. One, or is everything you do together holy? Look, yeah. Bobby's obviously reacted off of anal, like... There's other people that, and she reacted for whatever
Thanks
her
for
reasons.
Calling me out.
No, I'm saying, like she reacted. I'm saying, like, there's reasons for reacting. It could just be taste, or it could be like legitimate people. There's a lot of women that I know that would not give head to their husband because they felt like
I know some couples
they only
that
seen
don't
it,
have oral.
Yeah, they've only seen it like in porn or in whatever, and they feel like if they do it, then they're a whore.
Absolutely.
Which is. It's I'm sure this guy is probably it was a guy who
to
wrote
me,
this in.
Here's my thing. We could go through all the myriads of ways, and clearly we're up for it. But like, I think whatever brings you closer, and that's the big thing. Like, sex was created to be a way to get more intimate, to get closer, to feel safer with each other. Anything that doesn't make you feel safe or close, to me, that's like, I mean.
So then, would you say you are open to anything?
If it is going to, I think sex is a way to bring people closer and more intimate. I think that's, like, I'm open to stuff like that, though. Like, I'm not open to
that. So you're open, okay, then you're open
so
to
you're
a
open,
point.
So you're open, but you're not
to
open.
To a point.
Okay. Open in the front, not in the back.
because, like, you never know, like, okay, like, if people, like, you know, you don't know who you're going to get with. Like, I myself, I've had anal sex before. Not on me. Won't.
If there are children listening, please, parents, I'm so sorry.
No,
we
it's
forgot
okay.
to say that
you
part.
Talk
I know.
About this.
Manny, can you put a disclaimer at the beginning?
Sure, I'll
of
put
this?
A disclaimer.
Great, thank you.
It's called sex. In the title, so if you don't want to hear
talking listening,
about it.
This Season conversation two. Is already happening.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
this is just a much safer place.
yeah. So, I've had it before, and it was like it was cool. It's whatever, you know.
Did she like it?
Yeah.
Dang.
Both. I've done it three times. Everybody liked it, at least, unless they were lying to me. There was no weird pain sounds.
Girls just, can lie. Girls lie a lot.
No, but it wasn't pain sounds. It wasn't like, this sucks.
Oh, but just for the record, girls for sure lie about that.
No, I agree. I agree, you know. But it was, it was dope. It was what it was. So I'm saying, like, I've been teaching myself to just be, like, open for anything. Like, I need to be open for it. Because here's the reality of it. Like, I've been watching, like, a lot of, like, videos on marriage and open marriages, polygamy, all these other things because I'm no longer going to think anything is weird. Like the last person asked, and I think it was another past. Like, I don't like using the word weird because the reality of it is psychology shows us that people, if you're going to be married and some people stay married for 50, 60 years, you will change, not just mentally, physically, but emotionally and sexually. Like your desires are going to change. And if you're starting off that marriage like, nah, I'm not going to do this or this is stupid or this is whatever, like I did, then you just kind of shut that part of your partner off without even like considering it, you know? So to me, I'm like, nah, if it is between me and you and we agree on it, I don't care what it is. Like, I'm open. I'm open to talking about it. I'm open to thinking about it. I'm open to going there in my mind so that she knows, like, there's never going to be a thing that's going on in her mind that she's going to have to feel shame or like doesn't want to tell me. Because my initial response would be like, word, let's try it. If you're telling me this is going to, you know, do it for you, let's try it. If I got to dress up like a bunny, if I got, you know what I'm saying? Like, If I gotta pretend like I'm David Luke Skywalker, like get some red chonies, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta stay open because I would like to know that as I grow sexually, that my wife is open to just trying or at least talking about it, communicating about it, so that you feel like you're not a freaking weirdo. Because the second you feel like you want to try something or you're thinking of something and the other person shuts you down, you will quickly move into feeling like a freaking freak or a weirdo.
And then you'll go into that place where you start to suppress some of those things of like, oh no, all of a sudden I'm shutting down because I'm feeling rejected. And so,
and you'll find it on the internet.
Back to what Elise was saying about secrets and that being the place of shame when you start keeping secrets. And so sometimes it's really hard to have a super honest relationship with your partner where you can share the deep, dark parts of you, because we all have a shadow side and things we keep to ourselves, and it's our own fantasy world or it's our own thoughts that, well, I'll just keep this here in my thoughts. But actually being at a place where you can trust the person, like, okay, here's a deep, dark thought that I have, and have them not shut you down, allows you to feel like, okay, I don't have to keep this in the dark place and feel ashamed about it, but I can communicate and feel loved, heard, accepted, just there with me.
It's liberating. And it's so liberating. Yeah. Every person I talk to and I tell them how honest we are, they freak out. They're like, I could never tell my wife, or I don't want to hear any of that. So I'm like, so what you're telling me is that you don't trust her all the way. You literally don't. So she knows versions of you. Mm. Right. And I'm like, think about what you're saying. Like, you can't tell her.
And if sex is meant to be the most intimate thing, then
it's beyond. Yeah. It's like you're supposed to not be able to do it, you know, with anyone else, depending on where your relationship is at, you know, it can happen, whatever. But committed, like, in most senses, like, this is the one thing you're going to share with this person. If then it's literally the deepest that you can go, but you can't tell them what's on your mind.
Right.
Like, that's like tough. So, I mean, I remember ours just happened because out of a situation, it just kind of sparked. And I felt a certain type of way. And I was like, I'm going to throw it out there. This is how I feel. This is what's up. And then we just started practicing absolute honesty. Mm. This is exactly what I'm thinking. No pulling punches. And what it's also caused is like a more measure of trust. Because it's like, if this is telling me this, which what makes most people run to the hills, he ain't hiding anything.
Yeah, why would he need to?
He ain't hiding a damn thing. So I don't have to hide a damn thing.
And what, like, what, how do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I tell Manny, it's still hard for me to be 100%
honest
because you're not trained that way. We train ourselves to keep secrets, to keep shame locked away, this thought or that thought or whatever it may be. So it's still scary to be honest and open and vulnerable. And so there's things that I'll sit on for a while, like, okay, I want to share this, but I'm not ready yet. And being authentic and true to myself and getting to a point where I could be like, hey, let's talk about this for a second. And not feeling like forced to hand over all my deepest thoughts or whatever. But knowing that I have a safe place to do that when I'm ready.
Yeah.
So
it's good.
Yeah. Do you plan sex or wait for the right timing?
Both.
I think, I think you, if you're busy, like if you're busy people, if you put that to the side and just like, we're just going to wait for the right moment. Like, there's not always a right. What about busy seasons? I think you plan and then you make it right. Like, you plan the moment and then you plan to make it feel like the moment. That's the whole, like, coming into an atmosphere in your home. Like, you go out to dinner. Like, you plan for that. Like, I have friends that are like, when we know it's date night, we start preparing for it, in a sense, that morning. So he knows his wife needs to feel in the mood. Yeah. So he's starting from the morning and he'll say, like, I'll send her text throughout the day. Yep. Letting you know I'm thinking about her. He's getting ready for it. She's getting ready for it.
Yeah.
And so I think you plan it, but then you also plan the mood too.
On FocusOnTheFamily.com, it says, be intentional.
Impulsive,
spontaneous sex can be great, but it tends to fall by the wayside as jobs, mortgages, and children enter the picture. If you give your spouse only the leftovers of your time and energy, neither of you will be sexually satisfied. Planning a time and a place for intimacy seems anything but intimate, but the lack of negotiation can lead to a lack of fulfillment, or worse, to looking for it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. I was going to add to what Elise was saying about preparing for it. So we had a agreement that if we planned on it, right, and it wasn't spontaneous, we planned on it. Like, let's say we had a date night. On the way home, we're not going to talk about work. We're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about anything.
Investments.
No investments.
She's already tense.
I don't want to hear about cars. Nothing. And so, like, the other day, we had planned it, right? And so we're like taking a shower, and this guy starts talking to me about this debate he watched.
You did ask. You did ask me.
Manny, you should have done better.
He started talking about this debate he watched about this guy who's totally like destroying the idea of women equality or like something. I forget what. Like, and he's like, and this guy's saying like some crazy stuff. And then he's
intellectually turned on.
And he was telling me about the crazy stuff he's saying that's making me angry, but I don't have like facts to be like, well, he's wrong. So I'm just like, so annoyed.
Standing in the shower, arms by his side, looking down.
And then we just get out of the shower and he's like, yeah, and it was just a great, you know, conversation. He's brought up a lot of good points. So ready? Nah.
Bye.
Not ready. Dismissed.
You asked
Go
me.
Ahead.
But
Go
let's
run
say,
your errands.
But let's make sure they know that you asked me.
But Manny, you got to know, as her husband, you got to know this is not the right conversation. Yeah.
Yo, when somebody asks you, hey, how was your day? What'd you do? Well, I was just on YouTube, just, you know, doing
but
a lot of research.
But you know the rules.
And then she goes, well, what were you watching?
You know the rules. You say, we'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later. Yeah. It was very interesting. I was stimulated. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. This is so much good.
Well, go have sex with the guy that was doing the talk.
Yeah.
That's not even close to cool. How do you learn to trust again? How do you learn to trust again and having sex after cheating?
That takes time and you can't rush it.
Man, I don't have a good answer for that one.
I wish I had a good answer for that.
I kind of feel like you're going to have to walk your path.
Therapy.
But one thing I will say, though. And maybe, I don't know if this is off color, but I kind of feel like if you don't plan on forgiving the person, just bounce.
Yeah, I think
I would
say that.
I don't think like putting someone through a bunch of crap, making them jump hoops, you know you're just like, nah, I'm out. Yeah. I'm not here. And it's really just doing it to like punish someone. Like, I'm not saying he shouldn't be punished, but I kind of think like you stepping away is punishing. Yeah. I just think that if it ain't happening, it ain't happening. Like, put some space, bounce. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean that y'all won't end up back together, because maybe that space is what you need. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying don't make it like a tit for tat. Like, if they did something.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's actually, I would 100% co-sign on that. And I think Angela had a really good moment in the Grey podcast that we did this season episode about like, is cheating wrong? Like, forever it was like, yes, it's bad no matter what. Now, we never advocated that cheating is okay. No one ever said that. But there's a lot to learn in that process. And so I think you're absolutely right. Like, if you're not, if there is no part in your heart that is looking to reconcile, to get back together and like make it stronger than it was before, then don't, like, let's not waste anyone's time. And if you don't know that, I'd say take space to really seek whatever that is for the future. But then, like, learn from yourself, because at first I really wanted to believe that it takes one person to get a divorce and that's it, but that's not the case. Like, there were things about me that were really hard to face that I had to work through, no matter what percentage that was, if that makes sense. And so I think, like, with cheating, there is a percentage, whether and that's all I'll say on that, because every situation is so different. Sure. And I would hate to make someone feel like – you know, responsible for something that, you know.
No, yeah. I mean, no, you're just speaking truth, though.
Yeah, but I think that, like, there is a space to be able to hold for yourself that's like, okay, what can I own in this? And what can we work through together? And for sure, if someone's not ready to own their bad, like, if that was me, I'd be like, well, that's the first step. But I don't know. Yeah, if there is a road to reconciliation, I'd be walking it. Like, obviously carefully, but definitely unified. Like, that's the only way, in a sense. If both parties are prepared to put aside every bit of pride, every bit of secrecy, and both fully committed to it, I believe it can.
I've thought about that before. Have you ever thought about it? Like, if she did, like, every time I was asking Ange, Ange would be like, I'm out. I'm like, I don't know, though.
You know, like, and again, I'm answering this with almost 3 years into marriage. Now, again, if I was answering this question 13 years into marriage, like, I've invested so much in my life.
Yeah.
Like, my entire prime has been dedicated to Maddie. And at that point, everything that we've invested into each other, our money, like all of our connections, all of this, I'm like, man, am I willing to give all of that
even
up?
Just like emotional.
Yeah.
Emotional,
you know what
not
I'm saying?
Just
like, you're like, dude, that question is a lot tougher to answer then
for
than
sure.
It is now. Cause like now I'm like, Maddie and I, we're both still young. Now again, like, Maddie is like, she's super faithful. Like, if there was one of us to cheat, it would definitely be me.
Right.
Like, there's no like, and again, I don't plan on it. But what I'm just saying is she's up here, I'm here, you know, and right here is still great.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Up here is amazing. But again, right now I'm like, you know, that I think it'd be, I would probably be more like right now, like, I don't know about this. Like, I might deuce out. Actually, she would probably be like, all right, I'm deucing out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maddie's like, Maddie, you don't play like that.
I would really, like what Bobby's talking about, I would take stock. Because I feel like, okay, so we've been married the longest, so it's 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had weird situations that, you know, that really came down to us, like, each other owning-ish. Like, stuff that I realized, oh, snap. You know, I didn't know I needed this until I got it. And then it was like, oh, shit, like, I really needed this.
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting it. And I'm a very vocal person. Like, I'm over communicative to her dismay. She does not like how much I talk. But I communicate effectively in the sense of what I like, what I need, what I want. And so I think in the same way, I feel like she's pretty communicative. And if she tells me she wants something and I just refuse to make it a priority, and she finds it somewhere else, I'm not going to be mad at her. Legit. I'm going to be like, that was on me, man. Like, that was on me. Like, legit. And I've had this conversation in my mind. I've had it played out. I think what would take me to deuce is just her attitude, like, where they're at. Like, if she's like, I'm over, I'm done, I like this nigga better, then at the same time, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you got to do what you got to do. You know, if it was on me, I would obviously want to repair it. But if the person is just done and they don't want nothing to do with me, I'm not the type of nigga that's like going to be like, I need you to whatever. But I would own my own ish.
Yeah.
Especially if it's something that I'm like, yeah, she did tell me. And I just didn't care enough. And I can't get mad at her for finding it in someone that cared enough to give it to her. So I would ask forgiveness as much as I would hope that she would ask forgiveness. But if she was just like, I found it, I'm out, nigga.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, I would feel bad. I would really feel bad. Almost more mad at myself than mad at her, which is really weird to say. I'm like, it's.
So a question Ange brought up on, I forgot what episode, but she said, what would hurt more, get emotionally cheated on or someone actually, like, committing the adultery via, like, actual sex?
Ugh. It's the same to me. I mean,
it's the same to you?
Nah, chill. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same.
No.
Because one, I can deal, like, if you have conversations with a nigga and it's like, you know, and it's what it is, I'm like,
no, it's like, we were talking about, like, it's not just conversations. Like,
no.
Emotional, someone's created an emotional heart connection where a spouse should be, or someone's just gone through the act of sex with someone. That I guess the spouse, that obviously the spouse,
and again,
should have.
Maybe there's no emotional connection after. Like,
which
it's
one's
just
worse?
Like,
I would say
I
the
just
emotional.
Feel like sex.
See, yeah. Girls and guys say, are so different.
Because for me, I would say sex. And again, it's so based off the situation because I was talking to Maddie about this, and Maddie knows I'm very vocal again with how I feel. I'm a verbal processor. People who are fairly close to me, if you ask me how I'm doing, I'm gonna legit tell you how I'm doing. Like, honestly, bro, I'm struggling right now. So, like, I emotionally confide in a fair amount of people. Like, emotionally, I am investing myself in other people. So I think, like, again, so that's just me. But for someone who maybe isn't necessarily as open, for them to open up in an emotional way like that, that could be worse than...
Okay, let me paint a picture for you. Let me paint a picture. Let's say...
Paint it, go.
You are scrolling through Maddie's phone, her text messages, and you see a text thread with her and a coworker. Maybe she's told you about him. Oh, yeah, it's my friend from work, whatever. And you start reading through these text messages, and there's nothing, like, sexual, but it's things like starting with, like, how are you doing today? I was thinking about you yesterday after your meeting. How did it go? Oh, it was so good. Thank you for asking. Yeah, I totally thought about you, too, when I saw this car drive by. It reminded me of your car and da-da-da-da. And then later on in the text thread, it's like, oh, my gosh, your favorite cheeseburger. I ordered it, and I love it so much. Oh, my God, whatever. And you start seeing this friendship with her and this other man, right? And then maybe
Brandon's
she's like
uncomfortable already.
Maybe yeah. She texts him and is like, man, I'm so stressed out about this one thing. And he's giving her advice on this. And she's like, that means a lot. Thank you so much. And then maybe you're like, wow, she didn't even tell me she was stressed out about that. Why is she telling this guy she's stressed out? And you start seeing that emotional connection mm-hmm. that she would have with this other guy at wherever. That doesn't bother you?
So she's talking about the presupposition is that it's not happening with you.
Yeah. Well, okay. For my wife, Maddie, knowing her, she doesn't open up like that to your average person.
But what if she was?
So if she was, that would be a little bit of a, like a weird thing, especially if I didn't know him. Because then that would make me feel like, all right, yo, who's this nigga? Like, why are you talking to him? You don't feel like you could talk to me. But I think that'd be, it'd be a different kind of hurt for me. Because if there was another dude that was inside of my wife, yo, that would piss me off. Yeah. Like, that would, like...
Like, actually having sex with
your wife. Like, actually having sex with my wife. Man, that would be... Because
I kind of feel like...
Because, yeah, it would just be a way different sting.
And the conversation like, would be different. I'd be like, yo, what's up? Like, well, I don't know. Because everything that she said, I'm kind of like, I haven't gotten mad yet. Like, yeah. It'd be different if I started...
Maybe I didn't do good examples.
No, it'd be different if I started hot. Reading stuff like this. Like, oh, I wish I could be with you and not my wife. Then it'd be like, oh, this...
Yeah. It's different.
Then it's different. But if you're just, like, shooting the breeze, I'm kind of like, okay, cool.
You're like, hey, is it a healthy person process with? Like, yeah, like, get in the way.
Is he a nice person?
Like, they get all therapy
if
on
it's
him?
Like, whatever. No, now, I guess I would only be affected, I guess, if it just stopped happening with me. You know, but I'm
I
like,
would say this as well for women, by and large, not everybody, by and large, for women to get to the point of having sex with someone, they have to feel an amount of emotional intimacy, especially for someone like Maddie. Like, we know Maddie moment, but I think that may be, and we were talking about this in New York, like, that may be something of like to know they had sex means they had to cross some kind of emotional boundary somewhere along the way. Whereas for like, for us, with a guy, if they had sex, it can be physical. Mm-hmm. Like, still,
but don't
do
it. Happens to women
don't
too. Like,
it.
If a girl gets drunk or like
absolutely.
At the office party,
but
and
to
all.
Me, that wouldn't sure. be as hurtful as a full-on relationship. And I think Angela, right. great way, like throw in there some like, wish I was with you, wish you were here.
Yeah, then that's,
things like oof. That, and you start moving to territory where there. It does create a hot space that is difficult to...
Because then at that point, it's somebody saying that they no longer want to be with you.
Yeah.
And I told Ange, I was like, yo, queen, if you ever felt something for a nigga, just tell me.
That moves into another question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just tell me. Just be like, yo, I'm starting to have feelings for this dude. I'd be like, all right, cool. Like, feelings mm-hmm. like you trying to bounce? Or feelings just like, you think that's a cool-ass nigga, and if you keep hanging out with them, you'll want to bounce? Mm-hmm. I'm like, just tell me what you want. Like, if you're trying to tell me that you're trying to bounce, then all right, just let me know. I'll let you do your thing. But... Like, talk to me first so that at least I know what's up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm more protective to the point of, like, one time I saw a text conversation and Manny asking this girl, like, what's her favorite movie and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
that was when I was like, trying to be witty.
You don't need to know her favorite nothing, first of all. You don't need no friends. You don't need no new friends.
She's so funny.
I'm your friend.
Did you know that person?
Met her once.
Yeah. Okay. It was, and it was,
but it was like, no, like developing a friendship. Mm-hmm. You don't need to develop a friendship.
Especially when you're not a part of.
With anyone outside of me and people that are already existing relationships in your life, like before me. Those are your friends. That's great. But I am so protective of that emotional connection mm-hmm. that I'm like, nah, she could have her own favorite movie and favorite foods, and that's none of your business. Yeah,
go see a movie by yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me hook you up with a Match.com profile, find you someone to go to a movie with.
But like to show where mm-hmm. a guy may not see that as like, yeah, that's just whatever, well, conversation. Yeah, I told you,
witty banter. Yeah.
And I but then see again, it completely
that was
differently.
Year like three of marriage or something like that. Three or four, like
ooh, somewhere in there. Where, sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't
know. Well, no, you can no, here's the thing though. Like when it comes to like young marriages and there's traits about you. Like you've been single way longer than you've been married, right? So you've developed traits, you develop character,
right,
personalities,
right,
that are innate.
No, I'd say guys and girls are different then, because when I got married.
No, Bobice, if you've been single for 30 years and you're really good at flirting, you're really good at being nice.
I am.
Okay,
and I'm
okay,
30.
But what I'm saying is, and then you're married for a year or two, like that character trait mm-hmm. of how you are, how you taught yourself to be, that was once a really good quality. It was something that you were proud of. It was something that people liked you for.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to let it go until you find out, oh crap, this is bad now. All of a sudden, this is bad. Because nope. You're just used to being mm-hmm. like this guy, like, what up, what's up, or whatever. And I didn't see it as me being flirty or me being whatever. It's literally just, oh, this is just how Manny is. Nice to everyone, blase, blase, blah. And then once she took it in context and was like, oh, yo, but this is how I see it. Mm-hmm. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, shit.
Oh,
that
you
is
didn't
how
know?
You can. That is how you. No, because I honestly was just being witty. This is something that I always did before, and it's just like if somebody wants to have a witty back and forth with me, I'm gonna go tit for tat, and I always think it's fun. It was never something that was, you know, I didn't have no anything with this person. When she took it in context of how she saw it, she's like, yeah, but if I just come in reading this blind, mm-hmm. this is how it reads. And I was like, oh shit, that does sound bad.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, okay, so this character trait that I had that was always something good is now no longer good.
No, that's not true. Stop. That's not true. Because it's no, don't put shame on it. It is now needed to be redirected to your wife.
No, but it's always been directed towards her.
So for me, when I was dating, I had a year of practice. Yes, we dated and got married in a year. Let's not talk about it. Didn't go well. But I had a year to redirect, because we all know I'm witty, I'm flirty, and I'm 30, flirty and thriving. And I redirected my flirtiness to my husband because that's where it needed to be redirected to. So yes, there is still the witty part of me. Yes, there is some of that stuff, but you didn't know that that was affecting her. And that's that
situation. Well, and I didn't have the time to redirect.
Oh yeah, y'all were quick.
We got married within 9 months. And most of those 9 months, we were away from each other.
But when you found out that that was affecting her like that, that's when you changed it, right?
Well, yeah, because that's with anything.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just, here's what I'm trying.
But what I'm saying is the reality of there's things in you that you will not find out until it becomes friction with whoever you decide to whatever. Because like with Ange has very few things that she has to worry about. I'm not jealous. I never check her phone. I don't ever check anything.
Yeah, but guys, girls like a protective part of it.
Yeah, I don't
it's so
do
funny
anything
because I would
Ange
say that
literally
to him sometimes. I'd be like, can you be like a little bit jealous?
Yeah.
And like, I would
not,
try
that's
to
not necessarily.
Make, I would try to make him jealous and be like, yeah, this guy was flirting with me today. He's like,
I don't get jealous.
For real.
I laugh. Like, but look, this is, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's like, I'm just not that type of dude. Like, I'm just kind of like, I know me. I know what I can offer.
Guys and can then throw it in every now and then.
Manny will get home and I'll be like, did anybody look at you today?
Yeah, it's different.
Were girls looking at you?
It's different. I don't get jealous. I just don't think that way. You know, so it's different for me. But what I'm saying is there are going to be character traits about you that when you get with the significant other, you're not going to know it's bad until it rubs up against them. And they're like, oh, this is bad. So Ange being flirty, Ange will be like, yeah, you know, I was kind of flirty with whatever. I was like, well, did you get what you wanted at least? Like, you being flirty with the guy for a discount? Did you get the discount? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just how I'm like, because I don't feel any sense of like, fear that she's flirting because she wants to go be with the dude. You know what I'm saying?
I think we addressed a little bit in a different episode in the first season where we talked about like when we first got married, Manny would still scan the audience looking for his wife and be like, out of habit, like, is the one for me here tonight? Oh, yeah, I already got airports. I forgot I got married. And then me in airports, I would be walking through airports and just imagining, dreaming like, ooh, where's that guy going? What's his story? And be like, oh, wait, I'm married. Right, okay. So it does take time to redirect, as you say, and to cut off certain habits that you're like, oh, wait, hold on, I forgot. Let me not do that no more. And yeah, it takes work.
Yeah. And I guess all I'm saying is just for the people that have people, spouses that are just like, oh, it's still a habit. I'm like, bro, you've been married 20 years. Stop like stop sending flirting. Nudes. Like stop.
I'm good at fixing. Idea.
Do you know what I mean though? So I'm really not saying you, Manny. I'm just saying.
No,
like,
I'm a fixer.
Yeah, you absolutely are. So it's like when you find that out, start the process to fix it is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Last question. What if you're always the one initiating?
Have the conversation.
Communication.
Yeah. And maybe they're not even aware. Maybe because, like, you know, sometimes you can get into a rhythm or a groove and it's kind of like, hey, this works for us. We're rolling. Feels good. When we're done, we feel great about it. But, like, you know, there comes a point where you got to have a conversation of, like, hey, it feels like I'm always the one making the moves. Mm-hmm. And, again, I know you love me. I know you want me. Express that to me in the way that you're intentional about you're the one that's now initiating this.
Unless you legitimately don't want me. Like, you're not feeling those vibes. Yeah.
No.
And then we need to talk about that.
Exactly.
Because I remember we had those conversations. Yeah. I'm like, look, this is what turns me on. If you're like I'm the type of guy who does like the setup, does like the plan, does like whatever. Like if you leave your makeup on, you know, if you put on some lingerie, if you or just whatever, booty short, I don't care, like yoga pants, whatever. Like if you are trying, you know, then I'm like, okay, I get that you're trying. Ange would always be funny all the time. So she's just a jokester, right? So she would, there's times where she would jokingly touch my wee-wee, and then there's times where she would just jokingly touch my wee-wee but want to do something with it. And I'm like, nigga, I don't know what you want, so I'm just going to be like, I wouldn't react to either.
That's very true.
And then she would sometimes get frustrated, but I'm like, yo, like, this don't get me, you know? Like, I don't get whatever. And I would be hella honest with her. I'd be like, yo, I see this chick. You see that chick over there with the heels and the whatever, like who's putting effort into being sexy? That's sexy. When you just don't put effort and then want me to be like whatever, like I'm not a typical dude where I'm just like, I just want sex. Nah, fool, I want everything. Like I want it to be an effort. I want it to be like you're in your sexy, you're trying, you're doing these things so that I know. And she told me like, okay, well, I'm gonna need you to not be like baby with me then. Like when it comes down to it, because I would be baby because I'm reacting off of her being silly. Mm-hmm. So when she's silly, I turn into a baby and I start acting like all
baby
like,
talk. And I'm like, no. I could baby talk. You cannot.
Well, because I'm thinking like this is the land that she's in. She's into being goofy and being whatever. And I'm like, well, okay, well, then this is this. But when she wants to be serious, I'm down to be serious. You know what I'm saying? But
I remember when we were first communicating this to each other. And I was like, you can't do like baby voice. That's not sexy.
Remember
it's
what I
not
did?
Working. And then what happened what was, wait. And then
tell
so
them what I did.
I'm getting there. So then like the next time we're about to have sex, Manny Manny all of a sudden changes into this voice I've never heard, never heard ever in life.
I know, I started baby.
And he goes.
And I switched.
Babe, do you want to come over here? Like, trying to do this deep, and he was being serious. And I wasn't being serious. Too far.
I wasn't being serious. I
bring it up a notch.
I caught myself baby talking. And I was like, oh, wait. Come over here, girl. Like something stupid. I was partly joking, but I caught myself. I was like,
but
oh
also
my God.
Partly also not. And that was his effort.
It's okay. It's okay.
And he redirected too far.
I caught myself. No, no, no.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Yeah, no. Initiation, I think it needs to happen both ways, but I think you need to have that conversation of why the initiation mm-hmm. isn't happening. Sometimes it could actually be like age and physicality. Like I just found out that I had hella low testosterone. Like I'm at a 300 and we're supposed to be at like 900 to 1500 men are. And I'm always like, the second I got married, it was like no sex drive. Mm. Weird as hell. Mm. And then I went to the doctor and he's like, yeah, bro, you have like the testosterone of a woman. I'm like, oh, gee, thanks, bro. How can we fix this though?
That's great. But that's such a good example of like, there are other things going on than just someone being lazy. That's not the case.
This one chick wrote in and said,
birth control, antidepressants.
Yes. Yeah, antidepressants are huge.
This girl wrote in and asked that question. I pretty much never want to have sex. And she was like, what can I do? What are some ways to be intimate and affectionate without the act of sex? And I told her, I was like, look, I applaud your effort, but you're going to freaking miss the mark on this one.
Yeah.
Because you can't just like, I've tried it. I've tried the whole no sex thing and just being okay whenever you get it. That shit don't work. Nah. So your job isn't to like try to see a ways around it. Your job is to figure out, A, what are the antidepressants for? Like, are you working on that? You know what I'm saying? Because you're taking antidepressants for a reason. So are you doing the work to find out to get off of it? Because the antidepressants wasn't made to like, it's not made for you to just count on that thing. And then if you don't have that thing, then that's it. You're just going to be depressed because now you're not even trying to fix your life or find out what it is that's triggering you. Find out what's triggering you and try to work on that so that you can get off the antidepressants. That's if you're good. Telling me that's the thing that's keeping you, like that would be my first course of action as opposed to, well, these antidepressants are messing me up, so let me just figure out a way to not have sex and still be... I'm like, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. The cool thing is she was like, my fiance was... He's like, cool. He's like really trying to be supportive and sweet. But I'm like, that'll last about... it'll take him a little bit, but it ain't going to end well. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to try really hard, and then he's going to end up being not so sweet to you.
Yeah, I'd say, like, with that kind of stuff, whatever it is, antidepressants, like testosterone, physical stuff, like, work... Like, don't decide that that's the destination. Like, just decide... Together, let's go on the journey with it and both be willing and committing, if both are committed to that, to go on the journey. And don't decide that has to be the best. Like, that's like the whole, did you do this part about the other pod, about the pearls and the little girl?
That was the other pod.
That was the other pod. Like, just don't like grab onto something because like, well, this is the best it's ever going to get. Why? I think that's the whole thing when it comes to sex. Like, keep talking, keep like pursuing like whatever works for you guys, and that it is a gray area to culminate all of our season two topics. Like, it's a gray area and it is needing communication and it needs humility and it needs love and commitment, and it's the freaking best and God created it. So have fun with it. Like,
be open for everything and anything, which is a question that Brandon asked. Can you be in love with two people at once? Which is relationally like that. And I know most people think that that comes into sex. Most people think, and this is why I've like watched a lot of video and studied a little bit on it, because I was like curious about what do most people think when it comes to two people, being involved with two people. Most people go and automatically think it's about sex, which sometimes it is. Sometimes it's legitimately one of those things where a person is like, I'm not really here for the sex part, but I love everything else. So you can find that somewhere else. I'm cool with that. That's like a legit thing.
Yeah.
It's not normal I'm not saying it's not normal. It's not normal within our church culture, with anything that we've been taught, but it's legit like a thing in this world that I'm sure somebody that's going to hear this has either dealt with, is thinking about, wondering about, like, but it's a question.
That's my question, so I'm not answering it.
Yeah.
Can you be in love with two people at the same time? Mm-hmm. I think that gets coming back to what I was saying, like, what's your favorite movie? Nah, you don't even know her favorite movie. I'm not going to give you the opportunity to be in love with somebody else besides me. So
it comes down to communication. Yeah. What are your needs? What am I not fulfilling in you that you feel you need to go get it somewhere else? So if you found yourself in love with two people at the same time, I left a window open of opportunity and allowed your cup to be filled by someone else, which means we haven't been communicating the best on what your needs are. Now, if we were, and I was saying, what do you need? And you're like, nothing, I'm good. And still going out somewhere else, then that's now on you.
Yeah, that's good.
And
but you've also assumed that that's something that both people want.
Like, no, I'm talking about me and you.
No. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, in another realm, there are situations where both people, it's not a thing to them.
I mean, that's a whole
and it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it
that's
is
not
like
a 2 second conversation, though.
No, not at all.
Well, at that point, yeah, we could interview somebody.
I was going to say, let's not give a blanket statement on like, okay, so that's fine. Like, let's not say that because I think that opens up a whole different realm of
I would rather interview people who are okay with like, oh my God, there's
that. You guys have to watch that video because I would want to interview
like
someone like that. That would
shows about like polygamy and all that kind of thing. That's like,
yeah, but there's a lot of misconceptions about. And I didn't know that until I actually started like looking into
it. Sounds like you're going into polygamy.
No.
Hell no. Bye.
I'm talking about like researching it. Like it was very interesting to see what like it all it did was open up my mind to the fact of like there was the video that I sent y'all was so well done because there was like people there was a guy that was married for like 15 years or something. Mm-hmm. Church raised boom, 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 boom. And now finds himself in open relationships. That's where he grew into.
I wouldn't be cool with it.
But it's like, man, like this dude was legit like every one of us. And now he's in a different space, you know? And hearing him talk about it, you'd be like, man, it like this dude's making like sense to him. Like he's making perfect sense. It's not like he's some crazy dude who's like, yeah, I just want to do this. It's not even like that. Mm. So it really opened my mind to be like, there is a gamut of people that look at sex, love and all and relationships like in so many different ways. And it's not cool to be like one is better than the other.
Right.
When it comes to frequency, when it comes to personnel, when it comes to front or back door, when it comes to whatever, like, I don't know where life is going to take us. I don't know where our hearts or emotions are going to take us. Like, but I do know that when it comes to sex and when it comes to love and marriage, like I just committed to be open to anything because you just never know. Whereas before, I was like, hell nah, like this ain't gonna happen, this ain't gonna happen. And I realized
that's where
just,
I'm at.
That's just not the way to go, you know? Like, I wanna be open for anything and not open in the way like I'm trying to invite everything, but just open in the sense of this person next to me is gonna grow and I wanna grow with her.
Yeah.
Wherever she's growing,
that's good.
I want to grow with her. I want to be like, yo, I'm down. What you want to do? Game. Mm-hmm. Gang, gang. Anyways, we got to go to a movie. Love you guys so much.
Guys, this is how we finished season one, too. We were going to a movie.
I know.
Just
we got like 20,
really?
30 minutes.
It was that like fighting. Memory. That was that fighting movie that you made me watch all the ones before it. It was
John Wick.
Oh, fight it. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, hey, guys.
Hope you
guys enjoy season two. We'll be back for season three, assuming that you guys want season three. Download, share, and listen to the song that comes after this because I started doing that. Woohoo! Album for this. We'll come back. Hey, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers to season two.
Cheers.
Now I keep thinking about them lonely night calls and them lonely night tears. 2 a.m. you get a text, look outside, I'm right here. It's that knock outside your door, my intentions kinda clear. You was brave to let me in, take them lonely night fears and die. Know that you ain't proud of all the tears you cry. You fight too, so it's hard to see things eye to eye. We can't forget the pain, but damn, I love it that we try. Overachievers, but believers in the you and I. Now how the hell we end up arguing this much? Conversation's kinda tricky, it's a verbal double dutch. I be trying to find a place to interject, but all I get is tangled up in all our mess and jump my ass back into stress, damn.
How did we get here now? Do we come back from this? The darkness drowns us out. Can I find light through it? Give up now, or do we fight for this? Can't let them take.
paint a picture with 1,000 words, but that's just waste of ink. All I need is 3 words to paint you what I think. We iconic and logically you a prodigy, free from any theology that ruins your autonomy. Probably our dichotomy was hindered by my trauma. We casually skip the fallacies and focus on anatomy. How did we let the sex replace all emotional equity? Letting me question, did I take it all or were you letting me? Damn, now where does that leave us? Throwing in the towel or go the distance like a Prius. We could let our world come crashing down and never see it. Or should we take the odds, place our bet and maybe beat it?
How did we get here now? Do we come back from this? The darkness drowns us out. Can I find light through you? Do we just give up now? Smoke clears, we'll be found here. The world is crashing down all around us when the smoke clears. Hey. The world is crashing down all around us when the smoke clears. We'll be found here. The world is crashing down all around us when the smoke clears.
Ha ha ha!